Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning young adult author, CJ Malacy, and in this episode, we are going to dive into an author interview with my very good friend and fellow author, Corinne Norton. Corinne Norton hasn't found the key to time travel, immortality, or infinite lives, so she's taking a break from nursing and photography to focus on raising four human beings while writing epic fantasy. Her debut novel, Blood of the Stars, launched on Kickstarter in September 2023, and it is now available with retailers in March 2024. When she's not writing, she's reading, which is why she's also the host of the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where she reads a new short story every week from a variety of fantasy authors. Corinne Norton, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, CJ.
I'm excited to have you here. And for our listeners to know, we have been friends for, I guess, a couple of years now. I'm kind of losing track, but we met through a course we did together, and then we've just bonded through that because we're overachievers and did way more of the course than, you know, 90% of everyone else. Yes. And it just launched us into a great friendship. We talk all the time about marketing and books and stories, which has been a huge blessing. And I am excited because we're talking about your debut fantasy novel, Blood of the Stars, today. I am reading this book right now, and it is so good. And I would love it if you could just share with our listeners a little bit more about the story.
Yeah, so Blood of the Stars is an epic fantasy, which means it's super long. It's over 600 pages, but I really tried to pack it in and make it meaty. It's a completely different world. It's got characters who are descendants from stars. There's lots of fun tropes like reluctant royalty, a really long, slow burn romance throughout the whole series. There's dragons in there. There's creatures I've made up. Yeah, so it's just a really fun story about a girl and a guy and their separate adventures and how they come together on those adventures.
It's so good. And it doesn't read long. Like, it, as you read it, it goes quickly and you get caught up in the characters and the adventure. So whoever got a little shocked and terrified at the 600 page thing, it's actually totally worth it. I know some of my listeners love the really long books, so they got so excited as soon as you said 600 pages.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. And obviously, we both like the really long, slow burn romance. I think that's another reason why we're friends. Mm-hmm. We both like that to just go for a long time. So, but I think there's something fun about that. So this story has kind of been simmering for a while for you, right? Could you just share a little bit about where the idea came from and how it got to be where it is today?
Yeah. So technically, it started almost 20 years ago because I remember my husband and I were newlyweds. We had a failed camping trip. And so we were driving home in the middle of the night and it was too dark for me to read. And so I was just thinking through what would I make a story about if I was writing my own story. And that was the first time I even ever considered writing a full novel. And that was how it started. Now, nothing from that night of thinking through a story is still in the story. But I still consider that the start of it because it just always was evolving. I wrote snippets and scenes over the next couple of years, but I didn't have the discipline that I needed to actually write a novel until about 10 years later. And then I really sat down to write it out and it was quite a bit different. But now the one I rewrote 2 years ago is even more different. So it's just evolved over the last 20 years.
Yes. I love how stories do that. They start as one thing and you think you have this full idea of what it's going to be. But by the time it's done, it surprised you and the characters change things and your brain change things. Yes. And next thing you know, it's like a whole new world, really.
Mm-hmm.
Are there books or movies that you would say are similar to your story to help listeners know if there's like I like this, so I'd also like that?
Yeah, when I think particularly about young adult books, I think Mary E. Pearson's Remnant Chronicles is probably the closest thing to what I write because I am writing more adult epic fantasy. And so really the better comp would probably be like Brandon Sanderson or J.A. Andrews, Zach Argyle. Those are some more indie fantasy authors that I'm similar to. But as far as young adult, Mary E. Pearson would probably be the closest.
Perfect. Yeah, I know. And epic fantasy does tend to lend itself a little more regularly to the adult genre. But your one protagonist is younger, which is why we're like, okay, we can squeeze this into Read Clean YA with CJ. Plus, I know I have listeners out there who just love a good fantasy story, whether it's considered adult or young adult. So.
Yes. Yeah. She is 17 going on 18 in the story. So it does have those coming of age elements that are typical in young adult stories.
I love the coming of age elements. I think there's something powerful about watching a character go through life and figure out who they are themselves and step into that role as an adult and make their own decisions and everything. And it's because it's such a pivotal point in all of our lives. You know, that end of teens heading into our young adulthood and figuring out life is not always fun, but it's important for all of us. And I think watching a character do that can be really helpful as we're trying to sort through how to do it in our own lives, too.
It's very foundational because we do that throughout all of our lives. We have seasons where we have to figure out the next step. And so even though, yes, it's very common in young adult, it's a part of who we are as we grow and mature throughout our entire lives.
Yes, that is so true. And an important thing to remember, I think it can be easy to think, oh, I've figured it out and now we're going to move on. But we all hit those turning points and those changes and new seasons. I know I've had many of them in my life already, and I'm sure I will have many more to come, but it's worthwhile at the end of the day, as hard as those times can be. I think they're some of the most incredible times. You can see God work in unique ways and everything as well, which I think is really, really sweet about those transition seasons of life. In kind of keeping with the story, could you tell us about one of your favorite characters? Just give us a little bit of a glimpse into the story world.
Yes. So my favorite character changes almost daily. I have a very large cast, which is part of the problem why I can't just hone in on one favorite. But I will say right now, my favorite is probably Felk. And depending on where you're at in the story, you might not have seen him much yet. And he is actually a creature that I created just for my world. He's called a Winnix, and they wax and wane with the moon. And so their life cycles repeat with the moon cycle. So every new moon, they are reborn, a little bit like a phoenix, except they don't remember anything about their past lives. So in that sense, they're kind of wild creatures, but they can communicate. And so my main character, Aeliana, she's really eager to find the good in these creatures. And so she sort of befriends this wild creature, Felk, throughout the story.
Oh, neat. Does his personality stay the same or change with each of these new kind of...
It shifts a little bit. It mostly stays the same, but, you know, depending on whether he was wild in one life or whether he grew up knowing her in that cycle, that can kind of change his personality a little bit.
I don't think I've really seen much of him yet, so I'm excited to get a little deeper into the book here. I love talking about themes on this podcast. I almost said on this book. That is not what this is right now. So I would love it if you could share with our listeners a bit about like some of the themes that you discovered in your story that are important to you.
Yeah. So the main theme is pretty layered, and at its very basic idea, it's that we can choose right and wrong or good and evil. And my main character, she is terrified of the harm that her blood can do, because she's only seen how it's used for evil. And so her good friend Cyrus challenges her pretty early in the book by comparing it to a bow and arrow and saying that you can use that for good or evil, but the bow and arrow themselves aren't good or evil, and that it has to do with the choice that she's making when she uses it. And I sort of expand on that throughout the story, because then there's the question of, you know, whether or not intentions behind the actions can change the outcome, if good intentions can still have bad outcomes. And I have different characters lean on different sides of that, because I think that's true to life. You know, our circumstances really affect how we view that question. And I think that it's good for people to have a discussion about it instead of me trying to tell them one way or the other what I think is right or wrong in that situation.
Yes, because these kind of things are so multifaceted. And so it does look different in different circumstances and with different people. And I think it's important to kind of look at those different types of perspectives, because if we get caught thinking in only one lane of thought, we sometimes won't, well, it's not going to allow us to understand people who haven't had that same experience,
right?
That good intentions, if we think always that good intentions equal good outcomes, but then we've never experienced when that hasn't happened, then it's going to be really easy to judge someone else or to assume that, oh, yes, no, your intentions must have been wrong because that outcome was so bad, which leads us to a really negative view of people that have gone through a different type of experience than we have. Or if we only think bad things happen all the time, that's going to lead to a fairly sour view of life as well. And so,
yes,
I think realizing that, you know, this life is crazy and different things happen and we experience life in different ways at different points in our life too, I think it's helpful to look at something like this kind of huge topic from the different perspectives. And one of the great things about a longer story is that you get to do that in a unique way. It's not only 300 pages. You've got twice as long to kind of develop those thoughts and everything, which I think is really powerful and allows the story to develop in a unique way as well. Was that a theme you wanted to explore, or was it one that you kind of discovered as you were writing the book?
Yeah. So my writing process has changed a lot over the years. So for this particular book, because it was started so long ago and evolved so much, it definitely wasn't on my radar when I first started writing it. And it wasn't until a couple years ago when I really sat down and changed how everything was going to be and plotted out the whole series. Because now I do go into a book with a general theme before I start writing. And sometimes that theme will evolve. But for this one, you know, my first and even second draft, I didn't even touch on theme. But once I knew where the whole story was going, it was very easy to see the theme. And now I know where the theme is growing in the future books and how it'll be different but connected and that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, I think when a story starts 20 years in the past, it's bound to, the theme itself is bound to change, even if you'd had an idea back then, because the story itself changed so much. It's just bound,
yes,
to be very different now.
Exactly.
What about this theme really resonates with you in your heart, and it's something that you want your reader to kind of take away with them from your story?
I tend to put a lot of weight on my choices, and that can be both good and bad. There's times where it's healthy, where I take decisions seriously, and I should, but there's other times where I take a decision so seriously that I grow anxious about it, and then I have trouble making a decision. I'm always afraid of having regrets. I want to do the right thing, but no one is perfect, and eventually wrong decisions will be made. And so much of life is about how we handle our mistakes and handle our bad choices. And so I feel like this is something that everyone struggles with, is how to make good choices. And when you don't make a good choice, how to then deal with the outcome of that. And like we talked about before, or sometimes when you have good intentions and the choice still has bad outcomes, you know, then how to reconcile that when your heart was in the right place. I think that's something that everyone is struggling with. And it's something that I feel like I struggle with a lot as I've gotten older. My anxiety has gotten worse. And so decision-making can be a source of anxiety. And so it felt very on point for both me and just in general. I think our society, we're very focused on decision-making and how to make decisions and then how to deal with those outcomes.
Mm. I think, too, that I know that you do not market this book as young adult necessarily, but the, you know, like we said earlier, the character fits in that age group. But I also think that this particular theme is so resonant for young adults because there's a lot of pressure as a teen, mm-hmm, or 20 something to, quote unquote, figure out your life and make all the right decisions, figure out where you want to go to school, who you want to be friends with, all these different huge life things that you're now figuring out on your own in a lot of ways because you're growing up and you're not a kid anymore. And I feel like there can be this pressure that could make you anxious to the point of not even knowing how to make a decision. And so that realization that, okay, we're going to make decisions that aren't right sometimes, and we do have to just, you know, make the best decision we can in a moment and trust God with the results, you know, and I think that's one of the things that is so important to realize, like, okay, as I'm walking this life with God, you know, if I'm entering him into my life, into the process, then he's going to be gracious and direct my steps. Even when I totally mess up, fall on my face and make a terrible decision, God can still redeem and restore that. And he can still use even the bad, dark, difficult times of our life and make them something that he uses for good. And so I feel like that theme, that deeper perspective of, okay, decisions and when there's consequences that we didn't expect that are negative, even with the best of intentions, and how do we recover from that? What does that look like? I think that theme played out in a story can be something that's really resonant for a young adult specifically, even though, you know, I know this is technically more of an adult fantasy, but I do think that's worth stating as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I have actually written more young adult than adult books. I just happened to decide to publish adult first. And I work with the youth group at my church, and my husband and I are high school sweethearts. So that age group is very dear to me. And so I have had people tell me, you know, that it can read more young adult too. And lots of my Kickstarter backers pass the book on to their children, their teenage children, as soon as they finished reading it for that very reason. So I do think it resonates with both young adults and adults for sure.
Yeah. And I would actually love to kind of dive a little deeper on this because, like we've said, your book isn't strictly young adult, but it resonates. And the main character, one of the main characters, goes like 17 to 18 in the story. And I think that it would be really helpful if you wouldn't mind just kind of sharing your definition of clean, because this book, in my opinion, is a clean read. It's something that young adults can read, but there are scary and more difficult elements that hit in it, darker moments and difficult things that happen. So would you mind kind of sharing with our listeners your definition of clean and whether or not you think this book is appropriate for teens and young adults?
Yes. So I also run a podcast where my brother and I narrate fantasy stories. And our goal on that is to have clean stories. And the definition we came up with for that, we used movie ratings because I feel like a lot of people are very used to knowing what's in a movie based on the ratings. And so we said G for language. So in my mind, there's no language. And we said PG for romance or spice or sex, however you want to define that, which really is just, you know, kissing, that sort of thing. And then PG-13 for fantasy violence that's not gratuitous. I think PG-13 can be kind of harder to define, especially for violence. I think there's violence that can teach a lesson, that can move the story forward. And then I think there's violence that is really just because people want to read something gruesome. And that's definitely not something that I include in the story. And so my book is very much the same as the standards we've set on our podcast. There's no language, there's no sex, and there's only fantasy violence that's not gratuitous. As far as YA appropriate, I think it's appropriate for older young adults. So your older teens, I think for younger teens, the themes can be a little bit darker. I very unintentionally started addressing some self-harm and abuse issues. That was never part of my story going into it. And I've had people comment on it after reading it. And I think some of that has to do with today's culture being very sensitive to those topics. Because, you know, your older fantasy, you have people cutting their palms for blood to utilize blood magic. And that was a very common trope in fantasy. And so I did use that. And so there's a handful of scenes where things like that are happening. And then there's, you know, some scenes with dark spirits, which can be, it could probably instill fear in some people. And so there's those darker elements that these people are really dealing with internally, more so than physical elements that are scary that could require some conversations with younger teenagers.
Yeah. I like to, at the end of my episodes, if there's like some of those darker or more difficult themes, to just say that it's for young or sensitive readers. So maybe being cautious for your young reader who is reading way ahead of their reading level, this mm-hmm. might be one that you read before they get their hands on it, or you read it together so you can address some of those questions. But I also do think, and this is something you and I have talked about previously, that it's important as Christian authors to address some of those darker themes, because it's easy to want just clean books and assume that also means bright and cheery, but that's not life. And those books can be great. I mean, if you want a fun Amish read, then go for it. We don't really review those as much on here because that's not what I read. But I also think there's something that is important in with stories and addressing some of those more difficult things. And you can do that in a way with a story that you can't necessarily do just having that conversation sometimes, because you can get to the heart of the issue faster because you're not talking directly to that person who's struggling with that issue, right? You're talking sort of around it through story, which Jesus used parables to do this. And, you know, Nathan with David in the Bible, when David was caught in adultery and everything, like he used a story to get to David's heart. And so there are times where I think a story is an important way to address some of these issues. And we live in a world where there's a lot of dark things happening. And I think a story that hits some of those things is important, which is one of the reasons I wanted to be able to feature your book on this podcast, because I think you do it well from what I've seen already. And I have, like I said, haven't finished the book yet, but first of all, I trust your character and you as a person. And second of all, what I've read has all been done really well, handled really well. And so we did want to kind of touch on that for our listeners, because, you know, if for that 11-year-old who reads like, I don't know how some of these 11-year-olds read their books so quickly, but they do, and they want that 600-page book. This just might be a good one to pass through a trusted adult first before it gets into their hands, because I know my niece reads like crazy, but I would probably want her parents to check out that first because she's so young, and that's different for our older teens and older young adult readers.
Exactly. And I do think just this world, we're constantly facing dark things. And to leave those elements out almost feels like it's doing a disservice, because we're ignoring, you know, half of what the world is experiencing. And so I think there's a time and place for those things to be left out. And I think there's a time and place for those things to be kept in. It's very clear in the Bible, there are plenty of passages where it's talking about dark things. And I think the Bible gets into way more detail about dark things than I'm getting in my story. And so, you know, I think there's lessons to be learned from those experiences that are way too valuable to pass over.
I agree completely. And we've both worked with teens a great deal and talked with a lot of different young people. And I don't know, I'm sure, I think I can speak for both of us, but I won't totally speak for you. I know for me, as I went and like did more and more with youth and talked more and more with young adults, I've seen that they're going through harder and harder things. Like the things that are hitting a 15 or a 16 year old now are different than when I was 15 or 16 years old. At least that's how it appears to me. You know, I know there's always been hard things, but this world, like you said, is full of a lot of dark and difficult things. And so I think there's something, like you said, that is important to include some of that in a story, not because we're glorifying it, right? Just like how gratuitous violence isn't something you include because you're not writing a book just for people who want to read about gory things. That's not what this is about. It's not a glorification of darkness. It's not a glorification of violence or anything like that. It's an acknowledgement that these things happen. And they're difficult to process and they're difficult to fight through and think through. And so we can display that through a story. And I think it's important to do just that, because then when the hope comes and when the light comes and when the good thing hits in the story later, and when we show redemption arcs and people we don't think should have redemption, we're displaying truth that happens through the Bible, right? The truth of the gospel, the truth of redemption through Jesus, because that's the beauty of the God we serve. And whether it's through a fantasy story or an action adventure or, you know, a romance, we can touch on some of these deeper themes. And I think even in the darker themes, show light eventually, even if we don't see it necessarily in the first book of a series, you know, which is always a difficult thing about book one and two, right? The characters go through so much, but it's important. It's an important thing to address.
Yeah. And I did make sure to include, you know, that hope element that I think really can make the difference between a book being dark for darkness' sake and a book having darkness to then show the light in there. I think that is such a great point, that having that hope included, it really shifts the entire purpose of the story, because you don't want to just look at darkness for the sake of looking at darkness. You want to look at it so that you can shed light on it.
Mm, Yes, exactly. I love that. I could talk about this for so long, but we're going to run out of time and not get to talk about you as an author. And Corinne's favorite thing is to talk about herself. So, you know, we're definitely going to need to make sure we dive into that. Just kidding. This is the least true thing about her. could you share with our listeners just a little bit more about you, like things that you like to do when you're not writing?
Well, I have four kids, so my life pretty much revolves around them and the things they like to do. We did also just get a puppy, so I like spending time with her. But honestly, that takes up the majority of my time. I also volunteer with the youth group at our church, so I spend a lot of time with my small group of girls there. But yeah, I mean, when I have free time, I'm reading. I'm that person who reads and writes because that's what I enjoy doing. And that's what's been hard. Honestly, we went on vacation a couple times this year. And now that I'm, you know, writing for business instead of pleasure, it's like, I still want to write when we're on vacation. Is that okay? Or does that make me a workaholic? You know, and so it's finding that balance because those really are the two things that I enjoy the most.
Yes. And your kids are at those ages where their lives are getting busier and busier. So they're absorbing and they're not driving yet. So they're absorbing more and more of your time, I'm sure. But that's the mom life. I think it's important for them to have you around. So it's good. It's good that that's a big part.
It's a season and it's a good season.
Yeah. Yeah. And your puppy is very cute. I will include a picture of her if I can steal one from you on the website with the show notes because she's very cute. Y'all like to see her, I'm sure. But yeah, and I definitely understand. It's an interesting shift when you go from writing for fun and enjoyment to writing to publish the books. So I guess that's where it's all the attitude you go into it with. Is it a workaholic thing? Probably not if it's just to enjoy it. If it's because you're trying to hit deadlines when you're trying to be on vacation, that might be the part where we're struggling more, right?
Right. Right.
Well, since we're needing to wrap things up, I really could talk all day long with you, which we do. We talk a lot. I'm not going to lie, guys. But would you be able to share with our listeners where they can find you, connect with you, and get your book?
Yes. So it's my website, which is my name, and no one can spell it. So I will spell it for you. It's Corinne Norton, KarynNorton.com. And that's where you'll find my book, you'll find my podcast, and everything I've got going on.
Yes, perfect. And her podcast is so much fun. So if you're looking for a way to discover other fantasy writers and you want to get a taste of their books, Corinne and her brother do a great job of narrating these short stories, and you get that feel of whether or not you're going to want to try a longer version of that author's story. And your short story is one of the short stories that you guys have narrated, right?
I have a couple on there, yes. Yeah. And so we try to feature one story every week, but sometimes the stories are shorter, so we'll do a couple a week, or sometimes they're longer and we'll stretch it out over a couple episodes. But yeah, it's been a great way for me to find other authors and to connect authors and readers, because I really have made it a point to say we're featuring clean fantasy. And that way I know that we're giving the readers what they want and connecting them with the right authors. So it doesn't necessarily mean all of their books are going to be clean, but for sure what's on the podcast is clean. And then, you know, everyone needs to do their due diligence to research the rest of their books before plunging in.
It's a fun way to find new authors and new books. And it's Finding Fantasy Reads. I'm not sure. I'm sure we said it at some point, but just reiterating, we'll have links to all of that in the show notes for sure. But Corinne, thank you so much for being here today and being on Read Clean YA with CJ. I love getting to talk to you anytime I can.
Yes. Thanks for having me, CJ.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Corinne Norton. As I mentioned, Corinne is a dear friend, and I loved getting to do this deep dive into her debut novel. If you're looking for an epic fantasy adventure with rich world building, a large cast of characters, slow burn romance, and deep themes, I think you're going to love Blood of the Stars. As Corinne and I addressed in this interview, there are some themes in the book that might be difficult for young or sensitive readers, so I recommend having a parent or trusted adult read the story first or read the book with your younger child. Next time on Read Clean YA with CJ, I'll be talking with young adult author Lindsay Llewellyn about her debut young adult novel, The Chaos Grid. Mad Max comes to Texas in this futuristic story of a girl who joins a crew of truckers across a monster-infested wasteland to keep from being the savior of the domed city that murdered her parents. Lindsay and I had a great conversation, and I can't wait to share it with you. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean, young adult books too.